Today is our sixth follow-up episode with Eileen Noman, so be sure to check back on our previous episodes. A quick way to do this is to go to homeopathyhangout.com, and in the search box, you can just type in Eileen. If you use Spotify, it's also easy to just use the search box in there and type in Eileen. You can also go to my YouTube channel and type in Eileen, and all her four previous episodes will come up. So episode 256, 252, 265, and 267. Now, we have about four or five more of these episodes coming up. I just have to say how incredible this woman is. The recording that you're going to be listening to today was actually part of a four-hour recording that we did in one single sitting. So we were recording from about 5 p.m. Eileen's time until 9 p.m., or maybe it was 6 p.m. till 10 p.m. her time. So 4 hours straight, taking into account that, you know, she is 77 years old and her cognitive function is just so on point. And to be lecturing pretty much for 4 hours straight with, we only had like a 2 minute quick toilet break in between. So I just have to share how blown away I am by this incredible woman. So today is just one of the snippets that I took of this 4 hour recording. We're going to be splitting it up so it's a little bit easier to listen to in parts. And we do have some more content coming for you soon. Eileen is a worldwide lecturer and pioneer on a broad range of topics, including homeopathy, medical astrology, metaphysics, and shamanism. And you can find the book she's written on all of these topics by visiting amazon.com and searching for Eileen Noman. She is also a New York Times bestselling author under the pen name Lindsay McKenna, having written more than 225 novels, translated into 33 languages, and selling over 23 million copies worldwide. You can learn more about Eileen at www.walkingtheland.net. And while you're there, be sure to subscribe to Eileen's newsletter, where she'll be sharing loads of great information in the coming months. Eileen is on a mission to help raise our collective consciousness by teaching all of us some of the healing tools she's learned over many decades. She is doing this free of charge through her YouTube channel, which she is just starting up. So be sure to subscribe at youtube.com/@EileenNoman2329. Eileen has also agreed to make many of her amazing resources available free of charge through my website while she's getting her own site and YouTube channel set up. So you can check out eugeniekruger.com/Eileen to download many of the resources she has gifted. If you've enjoyed this episode, please be sure to share it with your family and friends. We're in a time right now, more than ever, where deep healing is needed. And part of that healing includes learning more about our energy body. So I am very grateful to Eileen for taking so much of her time to share her wisdom with us all. Thanks for listening.
So let's go to the heart chakra. I love the heart chakra. It has a green color that it runs. But when, and this is important again, if there's a pink color, okay, that means that the root chakra and the crown chakra, because the root's red and the crown is white. And when you put red and white together, what do you get? Pink, right? Yeah. That's involving your two most major chakras. And you're going, okay, there's something a lot more wrong here, or it's out of phase, or it's something's, something big is going on, rather than just the heart and the green color. So you can always ask your pendulum, you know, is the color pink or green? And if it says pink, then you know that you've got a far more complex issue going on, and there's other places that you've got to check in the crown and the root. So many times, I don't know, maybe I just draw these people. So many times when they have this pink energy in their heart and the crown and the root chakra are involved, it's because they were not grounded. You can see why I just go crazy over this sometimes, is that if you're grounded, your root chakra is going to be happy, and so is your crown, and the whole body is going to be happy, and you're going to be healthier as a result. But there's another reason to do that initial grounding technique. Stay in your body. You'll get green color coming out of your heart chakra. I know it's going to be happy, you know, less varicose veins, you know, less problems with the circulatory system and whatever else. The cardiovascular system rules the heart, and the heart is a muscle. It's pure muscle. It has miles of tubing, which we call arteries and veins. of our body, and that's where the red blood flows. And it's an amazing organ. And I could sit here and talk about this for hours, but I know you'd get bored. So we'll just let it go at that. So continuing with our heart, all right, there's a lot of other things that the heart does. We need to talk about the thymus endocrine gland. And there's some great anatomy pictures here. The one on the left, you see the thyroid, it's a butterfly, but the thymus is also a butterfly. It's just a larger, longer butterfly, and it's a different color. And interestingly enough, if you look at the center graphic here, the chest anatomy organs, you can see that the thymus literally sits between the two lobes of the lung on the bronchial tube before it, and even where it splits off into two bronchi into the right and left lung, and how big it can be. And so that's, you know, that's really cool. I was just thinking two butterflies, you know, and it's like they go through a caterpillar process, you know, where they're eating, and then they make a cocoon, and then they come out of it. And a thymus really does emulate that symbolically. And it's like, you know, I keep wondering, because I know the thymus, even in older people, can be strong and vibrant and healthy, and they're healthy and their immune systems are better, that it's about people going through the different stages, the worm to the cocoon to the butterfly, you know, and that in our older age, you know, we're all supposed to become butterflies anyway. That's, you know, kind of symbolic. Now, I've already talked about that, so we can just kind of skip the rest of that. Okay, the throat chakra. The throat chakra has a blue color, and the thyroid is the endocrine gland. The parathyroid gland is not. Don't mix them up. And the fifth chakra of the body, and it rules everything in our neck, front and back. Doesn't matter, okay? Even under here, okay, under our chin and moving back, that is considered part of the neck, just to let you know. Physically, the thyroid produces hormones that deal with and regulate our metabolism, our growth, and our development. And the parathyroid gland is not a gland, and I said it regulates calcium and phosphate levels in our bloodstream, and is also connected with the lymph nodes and the immune system. There was on the spinal column, I said each vertebrae has two nerves called the motor and sensory system. This is really, really important. And this is why I brought in the spinal column. It was for more than just showing you where the chakras are going to have a play with either, you know, the cervicals or the dorsal or, you know, the thoracic or whatever. There's another thing here that's really vitally important. And the thing is that if we just look at any one of these vertebrae, if we just take the top vertebrae here, okay, which is called C1, on either side, you'll see a red, you know, vein. And then next to it, you'll see a couple of blue arteries, smaller ones. But the yellow ones, that's what you want to look at. And the yellow ones, one on one side, and I believe the motors, let's see, am I doing that right? It's on the left, and the sensory is on the right. I could be wrong about that. Eugenia, do you remember?
I'm really quickly going to Google it.
Oh, okay. Well, what I can tell you is the motor nerves are important because we're able to move, you know, to actually walk and run and move our hands and fingers and everything like that.
Sensory nerve conduction velocities are higher on the left than the right hand, and motor conduction is faster on the right hand than the left hand.
Okay, I got it mixed up then. So the sensory's on the left, the motor's on the right. Thank you.
Right, yeah. That's a PubMed article, just the first little line, so hopefully that's right.
Okay, so the sensory nerves is how we can feel things, you know, with our hands, or we can feel the sunlight on our skin, and also, you know, it has to do with our smell, our taste, everything that's sensory or feeling, is in that particular nerve. And these sensory and motor nerves each run through each little vertebrae. There's a hole in the cervical or in the spinal vertebrae, and they go right through it. And boy, if one of those gets hurt, it is pain. It's horrible. So, but I wanted you to be aware of that. And this center graphic I have here, it says anatomy of the cervical lymph nodes. This is another thing that is really, really important with the throat. Everybody tends to forget about the lymph glands. Mm. We have so many of them right here from our ears. It starts about right here in our ears and it comes down all the way down. There's a plethora of them. And that's just amazing. And, you know, when they get swollen, that means that the immune system is kicked into action and they're actually fighting an infection, whether it's bacterial or viral, doesn't matter. But those are important. And then I, on the right here on this graphic, I just put this in because you could see the butterfly glands, the thyroid and the thymus. You'll never forget it. I had some great anatomy teachers in college. They were funnier than hell. But we remembered things. We remembered them. So anyway, the brow chakra is the third eye. And we've already had a big discussion about that, about the pineal gland versus the pituitary gland. So I'm not going to go into that too much. But it's located in the center of our forehead. And it runs the color lavender to purple and sometimes indigo. What I've found is that if I see an indigo chakra, that pretty much tells me that's a really old soul and they're not here because they have to be. They're a mission soul. They're your older souls and something is up and I pay attention to that. Whereas the lighter lavender is like people who are just learning how to start to see things. It's a light lavender. And then it'll go to a beautiful violet color. Midway between the indigo and the lavender, it kind of tells me about the age of the soul or what's going on. Just little stuff like that. And I said that the brow chakra has rulership over eyes, ears, nose, and sinuses. That's a lot of real estate, folks, because any one of these can go wrong. And, you know, here and the sinuses. I had one sinus infection in my life. It was in New Zealand. And I left Dunedin. My husband and I were flying out of Dunedin and we were going to land in Auckland. And as we were coming in to come down to land at Auckland, I had the worst pain in my head I have ever had. I thought for sure I was having a stroke. And it was so bad. I just curled up into a ball. I couldn't even cry. It was so painful. And by the time they got on the ground, I couldn't walk. I couldn't talk. I just said, get me to a hospital. And so we went and we ended up not going to a hospital, but to a hotel that was nearby that had a doctor, a physician on call. So I said, get him over here. Cause I thought, oh God, you know, I'm going to bleed out and I'm going to die of a friggin' stroke, you know, here in Auckland, New Zealand. And as it turned out, he came over, he listened to me, he, you know, felt around and he says, well, he says, what color's your snot? And he says, huh? He says, the mucus that comes out of your nose. He says, what color is it? I said, it's green. He said, okay. He says, you've got a really bad sinus infection. And he put me on erythromycin and he warned me. He says, you're not going to like this. He says, you're going to be really, really miserable for 2 days. And he was right. I was. But then I had to stay at that hotel in Auckland for 7 days before I could fly because the sinuses had to drain enough so that the air equalized when going up and down in a plane. Okay. And what happened when we came down into Auckland, it didn't equalize. And I felt like my whole head was exploding. It was not here. It was in my head. And that's what I couldn't figure out. And that's why I thought I was having a stroke or something. And I thought, God, this is the worst stroke ever. I've never heard anybody have such pain in their life with a stroke, you know? So it was one of those stories, but I never forgot it. And ever since I had that one sinus infection, I have such great sympathy for anyone who gets them. My God, they're awful. So back to this, I see the crown chakra has rulership over the pituitary gland. And interestingly enough, the pituitary gland has two parts to it. It has two sides, okay? It's kind of interesting. We'll get into that in a minute. And I said, it is the puppet master. And I said, equally important, it rules over. Now, this is really important. The central nervous system. They call it the CNS. In medicalese, we always shorten things to an abbreviation. So CNS is a central nervous system. But it has different things going on. It also has what they call the autonomic nervous system, which is ANS, and it has two branches to it. One is the parasympathetic nervous system, which is PSNS. Our emotions are at rest. Our digestion is good. Things are calm. It's only when you get into the sympathetic nervous system, which is SNS, that's our emotions. And it's also our fight or flight state of response. Digestion stops. Now, here's an interesting thing that happens to a lot of people who are under high stress and it's unrelieved and it doesn't go away. This is not acute stress, okay, where you drop a plate and it breaks and you're going, ah! Okay, for the minute. That's stress, but it's here and gone. It's acute. When you have unrelieved stress, your digestion starts slowing down more and more and more until finally you end up with constipation, among other things, okay? And that is a sign of high stress. If you used to have great bowel movements, but now you don't, and you're all clogged up, that's stress. And you need to be asking yourself about that. And guess what? We may be able to do something about it if, all things being equal, you know, if you're constipated, you know, you're looking at your sacral chakra, right? But yet it could be coming from the brow chakra, because this is where the stress hits. And where stress hits, that is the main chakra that you're going to be thinking about, with the target gland chakra being the sacral chakra. Or you can have a lot of fun. You can put your pendulum down there about 3 inches above your body and where the sacral chakra is at on the front and back. And you can find out if it's working fine. If it's working fine, then this tells you that your brow chakra is probably clogged up with something and it's moving more slowly and it's having a hard time moving at the frequency it's supposed to. And when it does that, everything in that system's going to slow down, i.e. constipation. All right. There is a story to all of this, and it's all energy combined with a physical response to it. It starts in the energy. It starts in the invisible and it comes down. And then, you know, we get involved with our emotions. But this is I really wanted to put this down in black and white so that you understood exactly what it was, and that there may be two chakras involved and you need to find out which one it is. And let's see, got that. Okay, I said the brain is the most complex, complicated of our anatomy. I said with two chakras posited within it, the brow and the crown chakra, there's a lot going on, seen and unseen, what I just said. I said, plus the brow chakra, you have the entire central nervous system that has a number of parts and that they have key roles in our daily life. The crown chakra plays a major, most major part in our nervous system. And by the way, you know, the cathartic template that I've talked about that is ruled over and part of the crown chakra, the brow chakra is also tied into it with more than just the chakras. I haven't figured that out yet, but I've seen it. But I don't know what I'm looking at yet enough to say something that's reliable. So the brow chakra duty, you know, it's our eyes, it's our ears, it's our sinuses, it's our nose. I mean, it's a huge area, and it's very easy for someone, you know, who's, you know, probably never seen a pendulum before. All right. And you're going to start to learn how to use one tonight. And we're going to get into this. All right. And Eugenia is going to be my girl is going to do it.
Guinea pig.
She's going to show you how.
Yours look really interesting, Eileen. I've never seen one like that before.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a bunch of things I could tell you about pendulums. And I will. But I want people to understand that it is the unseen anatomy that we have, that's part and parcel of us, that keeps our physical body alive and working well. And if it isn't, then we can go to the chakras. See, here's the thing where homeopathy comes in, okay? This is for all homeopaths. And I dare you to try it. I just, dare you to try it. Haven't you ever wondered why a well-prescribed remedy only works for maybe a week or two, and it should be lasting longer? And or they take the remedy and only part of the symptoms are taken care of, but not the others, which are also a part of that same symptom picture. And you go, what's going on here? You know, where is this in my, and you're looking everywhere for something else, and there's nothing there. So it's like, okay, let's see. So what I have found out over the years is that chakras do get clogged, and they can get clogged with several types of things. One is stress. Stress will slow them down. If you slow down the vibrational frequency of that chakra, you are slowing down everything in that it has a rulership or that it's taking care of in the human body, okay? And it's going to affect you spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally. You never know how much it's going to hit or where it's going to hit, but it can do all of that, all right? The slower it goes from what it used to be and where it should be and isn't, the more that system of the body is going to start to have what? It's going to have symptoms, all right? Symptoms. That homeopaths know symptoms. It's our bread and butter. So you can take your little pendulum here, okay? You take this pendulum, and we're going to teach you how to use this tonight. And you can all run out and buy one if you haven't, and buy a cheap one. It doesn't need to cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars, okay? You can get a cheap one for $10, all right? Maybe not in Australia, but you can in the United States. So get a cheap one. And the thing is that you can go in with that system that you know about, because all homeopaths have a pretty damn good knowledge of anatomy. And if they're an MD, of course they do, or an ND or an EMT or paramedic, something like that. We all know our anatomy. We know enough to be dangerous if we're an EMT, but that's okay. We still can save lives. And you can find out what's really going on. Where is it located at? And you can ask your pendulum and it's going to tell you. And instead of scoffing and saying, oh, I'm making this up, or she's crazy, okay, which I'm sure they're going to say she's crazy, that's fine. All visionaries are called crazy. I don't care. I know what I'm talking about. I see it all the time. So you're going to be learning how to parse things when you have little organs that are all together in one place, especially in the face and the head, it's a minefield for somebody that's trying to learn. But that's just part of learning. So speaking of learning here, I said that the crown chakra and the cathartic field of our aura have two agendas that they are responsible for maintaining. And I said, I feel the pituitary endocrine gland is situated at the opening of the top of the head, that it plays an important part in this invisible world of ours. And I said, the master gland is a pituitary, aka the puppet master. It has control over the target glands, which we already talked about. And I said, it would make sense that the crown and the pituitary are in deep cahoots with one another. You better believe they are bedside partners. On one side, you have the visible side, and on the other, the invisible. And both are working 24/7, 365 for you in concert to create a dance between prana, the invisible food, and the food that we feed our auras and chakras. And later, it is transmuted into and feeding the endocrine glands where the hormones are created. And that's a part of all of our bodily systems. And I said, in other words, this is a symphonic concert on the seen and unseen that goes on without any rest or change-ups. And I said, I believe the crown chakra works with our entire nervous system as well. Don't, you know, prove me wrong on that. Do not overlook this. Don't dismiss it because you don't know what you're dismissing or you think you're dismissing. Now, those two work together. And I said the closeness of the pituitary gland and the crown chakra opening are like two horses in the same harness, and they're going the same direction. Okay. So, end of anatomy lesson. Hey. Do you have any questions so far, Eugenia?
I have loads of questions. I don't know if you do. Is it okay to ask them now?
Because we're going to move into the pendulums next. So if you got them, give them to me.
Yeah, because I think with the chakras initially, when I initially saw the funnels and as we were kind of talking in the previous lessons, I kind of thought that maybe the energy comes in one way and goes out the other. But then after, you know, listening to you, it comes in and it gets transmuted. So it doesn't actually go anywhere from there. But then at the same time, we can also like lose energy. But I guess that's coming more from our auric field that we're losing.
You're saying you're losing energy. What kind of energy are you talking about? Physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual?
No, like more spiritual energy. But I think that's more probably from the aura. Like if you're in touch with people who have bad vibes, I think that's maybe what we spoke about more last time. I'm just trying to integrate all this information because although I've heard little bits and pieces of it here and there, I've never actually like sat down and, you know, made sense of it all and tried to digest it all. So I think I'm just trying to figure out in my head where it all goes. But your visuals are really good. I could really like visualize it kind of going in. And initially I thought, oh, maybe it comes out here. It comes in here and then goes out the bottom. But yeah, everything's coming in and then it gets transmuted from 4D into 3D. And that part I really understand and I really like that.
And don't forget, you have the silver of the Mother Earth's energy and you have the gold of the prana coming down through the chakra. And those two, if you could see them, they look like they look like cables on an elevator. Okay. If you were up above the elevator and you saw it, it's like two cables, one's going up and one's going down. And it's constantly doing that. Okay. The chakras can transmute poisons too. Okay. It can get poison out of the body. Homeopathy can get poison out of the body. All right. I mean, my husband and I have been stung by bark scorpions, which are the most poisonous scorpion here in the United States, several times in bed at night. We wake up and they were in our bed.
Wow.
Okay. I mean, welcome to Arizona. This is normal. Okay. it's not that I'm not cleaning my house, folks. Scorpions can come in anywhere and they are nocturnal and they get very busy usually when you're asleep. And I always, anytime that I would wake up and I'd feel a sting, then I'd throw off the covers, jump out of bed, get the flashlight, see the little bugger. And I always carry the can that was always on my bedstand and I would put the can over it because I didn't want to kill it. It was just looking for food. Okay. It just found something too big to eat. But the problem is that the sting on the bark scorpion, which they lived in the area where we lived, it's killed many children. And that's the sad part about this. But the first time that I got stung and Dave got stung, I went and got the Lachesis 200C. And I'll tell you what, that sting, it starts from the bottom and comes up. Okay. No matter, I mean, if you get stung in the back, then it's going to go up that way. Or if you're stung in the foot, whatever, it moves up the body. And there's a certain place where it feels like your entire torso is turning into a washboard of spasms. Mm-hmm. All right. I mean, it's really quite something. And the Lachesis just knocked it out in 5 seconds flat. And usually I would have to take 200C twice, sometimes three times. You know, every time they sting, that's another sting. That's more poison. And they will sting you so fast that you have three or four or five stings before you can ever do anything because they're scared, you know, and they know that something big is moving and going to kill them. So there's the poisons can be muted, transmuted from the chakras through the endocrine system. Okay. But I'd like to go back to your spiritual fatigue. Okay. Well, that's what I'm going to call it. All right. What happens is that you're not grounded enough. That's the number one thing. You're not totally grounded yet, or they wouldn't be taking anything away from you. Okay. Now there's a second part of this that what if you really are grounded and you still feel like somebody's sucking the energy out of you? Okay. These are what we call psychic vampires. And I mean that kindly and with love. They're not dark people. They're people who have been victimized. They're people who have low self-esteem and they haven't gotten any breaks. And on an unconscious level, this is really, really important. On an unconscious level, they automatically are drawn to people like you, Miss Sunbeam, okay? Because you exude this wonderful sun-like energy, okay? They want to be around you to suck energy out of your aura because they don't have enough to keep walking with. It's that bad for them sometimes. But that's not, in the cosmic laws don't like that. Okay. That's not the way it's supposed to work. The victim, okay, or the person who is low on energy, I'm sure is not grounded. That's number one. If you get grounded, you're going to mute at least, I would say, 50 to 75% of somebody taking energy out of your auric fields, okay? Because this happens all the time. And I call them psychic vampires, but it's because they're unconscious about it. They don't realize they're doing it. It's the weak that hang around with the strong. And if you want to, I mean, an overblown symbology about it, the weak are always going to be drawn to the strong because they don't realize that they're like a big gasoline hose. And I have literally seen the hose come out of their aura field and go dip into the other person's field. And you can see the pulsation of the energy they're taking from the sunbeam to give to themselves. And they can suck you dry in 5 to 10 minutes. I am not joking. You can be so tired you can barely put one foot in front of the other, or you feel like you have to go take a nap or you're going to die. That's being a little over the top, but you're really tired. And the way that you recoup is that you sleep at night. When we sleep at night, we re-energize and all of the chakras and everything are just, you know, plumping up the fields where they should be as much as they can. Understanding we're imperfect, so there's going to be some imperfection out there too. But you're going to wake up in the morning and you'll feel fine and you'll feel like you're back to your old energy. I mean, if you really get hit by somebody, it might take you a day or two, okay? So there's that. And that comes from the root chakra, okay? That's a root chakra issue. It means that you are not bringing up Mother Earth energy. And of course, if you're grounded, you can start getting more of her energy into you and pumping up and strengthening those fields like they should be, and you'll have a lot more energy. And again, this goes back to getting grounded. It's just an amazing thing. And it takes time. Okay. Now, I have another one. I have another little way to stop this before it starts. Are you familiar with black tourmaline? It's a gemstone. You've heard of the tourmaline family, you know, like watermelon tourmaline or indicolite, which is blue, or green tourmaline. There's some orange tourmaline, I believe, in China. Anyway, black tourmaline, nobody wants it because it's black. And it looks very nice when it's polished. It's beautiful. But most people don't like black because it's opaque. It's not transparent like gems are supposed to be. It's opaque. Therefore, it's worthless in most people's eyes, okay? The thing is, I just finished a, for my gym mystic in YouTube for the gyms and the healing of it. I will send you a copy of it now. It's raw. It hasn't been edited, so I don't scream, but it will give you a lot of information that you need on this. If people like yourself would only buy two tumbled black tourmaline stones that are about this large, okay? And they're tumbled, which means they're going to be smooth, okay? So they're not going to rip into your clothes or anything like that. You put one in each pocket. Don't put them in your bra, okay? I just can't believe this. Women put them in their bras because, you know, and it's like, no, you don't want to hurt these poor little babies, these little puppies. Don't. I mean, they're having to wear a bra in the first place, which is really crimping their style. And you don't want to put two stones in there because it's a pocket, but it's the wrong pocket. I want these in your jeans or your slacks or something like that. And I have women who will buy two little fabric pouches and they will put them with safety pins on their waist and under their blouse or jacket or whatever they're wearing. And you won't even see them there. But there's only, I think, three or four gyms world that have piezoelectric and pyroelectric energy. One is heat produced, one is electromagnetic produced. The best one in the world is tourmaline. The best one is, I think it's called Dravite or something like that. I can't remember it right now. It's from Slovenia, I think. It's in my article that you'll get, okay? I will be putting it up on video for my YouTube, Energy 101. But that's going to be a week away. The second strongest and most powerful is black tourmaline. And black tourmaline is totally inexpensive, cheap, because nobody wants it. And you'll spend a little bit more for tumbled because it's polished looking, but it's easier on your clothes because tourmaline, it has really sharp and ribs and stuff on it, and it can pull away at fibers and the weaving of your pocket and stuff like that. So I always suggest that you take two black polished tourmaline tumbled stones, one in each pocket. Here's what it does. And topaz is another one that is piezo and pyroelectric. Quartz crystal is, and oh, could I say a lot about that? But the one, black tourmaline is the only one that I have found that does the following. When you put a tourmaline tumble stone in your left pocket, it instantly goes to work because it's pyroelectric. The temperature, when it changes, all of the molecules and the atoms get really excited. And the stone, when it goes up against 98.6, which is your body temperature, which is not what it's at, you know, when you buy it, you know, on the street or whatever, or on the internet, it's probably going to be maybe 70 degrees or something like that. So there's a huge difference there. And the one thing of two that black tourmaline does is that when it gets excited like that and it stays at that temperature, it absolutely just spreads out and goes all around your aura. And it's electromagnetic energy. And it stops anybody who wants to suck out of your aura, okay? It won't happen because the spirit of the stone feels threat coming toward it, which is threat to you, all right? Threat to your aura. And it immediately is on guard. And when the person gets close enough, the person will in some way want to interfere and put something into your aura to start sucking. As soon as it does that, the black tourmaline knocks it out because it's a higher vibration and it's a higher energy And did you know that what they tell you about black tourmaline, as far as manufacturing goes, is that it can create between 20 to 100 volts of electricity. You stop and think about that. And if you think it can do that, and scientists can measure that, okay, just think what it's doing on the unseen side, okay? It will send whoever threatened you with negativity of some sort, okay? It sends it back to the sender. It's the only one that does that. It's the only one. And if you, when you wear a stone in your right pocket, what that means is that whatever negativity you have and you're having a bad day and you really want to blow at somebody or whatever, guess what? It stops you from doing that. It stays in your aura and makes you responsible for your feelings and being more mature about them rather than being a hissy fit or, you know, a temper tantrum. So you protect yourself with a stone on the left in the left pocket, and you protect everybody else from you by wearing the stone in the right pocket. It's the only one. And there's just so few stones that have the piezoelectric, pyroelectric abilities. And they're using quartz crystal like crazy in all of the computers. I mean, it's just in anything electronic because it's heat. And heat just excites it, and there it goes, and it's just doing its thing. So that's what I would do offhand without, you know, I would be looking at all your chakras, and I would be finding out which one is not working, which one isn't activated, why isn't it? Okay, and we would have a chat. That's what I would do if I was there. Okay, does that make sense?
It does. My other question is just that I was taught that the hypothalamus is the master gland, but in our physical anatomy, but I wondered if you meant when you said about the pituitary being the master gland, that you maybe meant on the energetic anatomy.
No, because the hypothalamus, yeah, it's part of the master gland. I understand that. But it's a part of it. It's okay. The master gland as a whole. Okay. It is a part of it. Yes.
Okay.
But it's not outside. The reason why I said it that way is it was not outside working by itself. Okay. It's not a target gland. It's part of one gland. That's a pituitary gland. And there are parts within parts of the pituitary gland, but they're all in one place. So, yeah, but nobody says the hypothalamus unless they've got a hypothalamus problem. They're always saying the pituitary, and I'm not going to get in the weeds on this because people won't know what we're talking about.
I thought that was the case because I just often use the remedy made from hypothalamus in my clinic for clients who have issues with overeating or with addiction or chronic fatigue, and autism is one I use it in a lot. And so, you know, and I always explain to them the hypothalamus is the master gland, and it checks in your body, you know, do you need to pee? And then it'll say, yep, go to the pee, or it'll check your hormone levels, and it'll tell the pituitary to then go tell the thyroid to make more hormones. So when you were saying that, I think you probably meant it in a slightly different
way. Yeah, no, I meant it that it's part of, it's one of the parts of the pituitary gland in general. I mean, you can't take the hypothalamus out by itself and it's going to go work by itself.
Gotcha.
If it was supposed to, it would have.
Yeah.
Right? No, it's part of a den of different hormonal functions that are in there.
Okay? I knew you'd have an explanation for it. I was just thinking that in my head and I'm looking forward to asking.
Well, I don't want the others to think that, exactly. You know, it's like, no. Yes, it's in there. It works.
One more burning question is, I'm sure there's some sort of metaphysical relevance to the fact that the male testes is in the root chakra and the female ovaries in the sacral chakra. I don't know if that's a yin or a yang type thing that's, you know, just balancing it out, but is there something, do you think, metaphysically that is relevant to it being in two different chakras?
Well, no, I think it's perfect that it's two different chakras. The man can only do one thing. A woman could birth 10 children. Why would they be at the same chakra? Why would they be the same endocrine gland? That makes no sense at all. No, they have to be separated, right? You only make one kid at a time. Women can produce and reproduce and reproduce. Sacral is about creation. Okay. Root is not.
Okay.
All right. Root is the tribe. Okay. You have nothing to say. You cannot think for yourself. You cannot speak for yourself. I will speak for you. I will think for you. Okay. It's authoritarian as hell. But when you get into the sacral, you get into this wondrous creativity where everything bursts. Everything. That's the woman. The man, he's got one shot. That's it. We even can have 5, 7, or 8, you know, orgasms. Can they? No. Why? Because he's in the root chakra, which means one, and she's in the sacral, which means creation of as many as you want. Right?
Amazing.
Well, stop and think about it. If you understand the underpinnings of a chakra, you know, and its personality, okay, because every group has its personality, good, bad, and indifferent. The root is just about being grounded. That's its amazing ability, because it's literally like the crown. The crown is bringing in that gold energy of the prana. This is bringing in Mother Earth's red energy, which is infusing us with life. So the root is nothing to sneeze at. It just has one thing that it does, and it does it very well. The sacral chakra, oh my God, it's like having 10 puppies in a room, and they're all going all different ways, okay? And that's the energy that's there. It's for creation. It's for birthing ideas, and they can be baby ideas, you know, where there's a physical thing. It can be, you know, you could be a painter and paint pictures. Hell, I've written 245 books as an author. You know, my sacral is really running good. Okay. I mean, I have birthed a lot of books. Okay. But it is a place where you start growing into your own, that you have a mind that thinks the way you do, not what somebody in the root chakra told you to do. Okay. And partnerships is part of the sacral area. You have a partnership if you have a baby, right? There's a partnership there. How do you get along? And it's learning how to get along. Or you marry somebody and, you know, do you get along and you learn how to compromise, hopefully, and, you know, and you grow as two people, or you get a divorce. I mean, you know, there's not too many stupid women around. They know when to leave if things can't be, you know, a balance of harmony. And then that's another thing about the sacral chakra is that it loves harmony. It wants to get along with everybody, right? And if they don't, then it's a terrible war. And there's a war with the person themselves and the war with the partner. So anyway, we're getting off track here. So what we're going to do in the next part of this is that it's called pendulum know-how. And I said, there's a good reason why I went through the 7 chakras. I said, now you're going to learn how to use a pendulum and check out the spin on some of them. Are you game? I said, let's go look at some types of pendulums that are out there. And I said, working with a pendulum is known as dowsing. And I said, historically, a person would find a long tree branch with a Y, okay? And he or she would hold the two limbs in their hands, and the single one would point out and quiver, or you'd feel an energy coming up your hands and into your arms, or the point would suddenly point down, indicating it had found water, if that is what you were looking for. And I said, it has been used by humans to find water for thousands of years. Okay. So the next part will be about pendulums.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Arlene. I'll chat with you very soon.